Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive contribution to our world with their transformational thoughts, ideas, and activities that encourage and inspire others. We'll explore different aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and much, much more. My name is Tom Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor, also a regular contributor to their weekly e-zine. I'll be speaking at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia in about 3 weeks from now. Deepak Chopra is a keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since age 5. That's 43 years now, and I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication that's the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website, www.tom2andtall.com. My guest today is Tom Sutter. Tom is a dual career professional, the serious job that pays the bills and the fun job that pays the heart and soul. At DS&P Insurance Services in Illinois, Tom has taken on the business development and sales leadership roles, which involve the recruiting, training, and development of commercial insurance producers while maintaining and growing his own book of commercial insurance and employee benefit clients. Tom also co-founded and is the president of CAL's All-Star Angel Foundation, a nonprofit organization located in South Elgin, Illinois, that grants the wishes of children battling cancer and financially assists their families. Training and coaching has been part of Tom's life since his college days. He received his bachelor's degree in economics from Northern Illinois University, where he was also involved as a pledge trainer with the Sigma Chi fraternity. Having a blended family of 6 children whom are all active in sports, Tom enjoys spending his spare time coaching one or more of their baseball and softball teams each spring and summer. Having lost his oldest child, Cal, to leukemia in August of 2006, Tom and his wife, Stacy, Cal's stepmom, enjoy spending their time helping other families battling pediatric cancer to cope with their struggles through their nonprofit organization. Their families and their children are always actively and enthusiastically involved in carrying out their older brother's legacy of always caring about others above anyone else. Welcome to the show today, Tom, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
Now, we found out about each other through Napoleon Hill Foundation. I think it was either my weekly, the guest column I wrote, or maybe my newsletter, I forget now. So before we start talking about your son Cal and Cal's All-Star Angels Foundation, tell me about your experience with Napoleon Hill, and I also know you're a fan of Jeffrey Gittimer, who is a huge supporter of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. I think he even puts out or assists in putting out that weekly e-zine. So you have taken one of Jeffrey's sales courses, and you've read bits and pieces throughout your life of Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah, it's I started probably following Jeffrey, a couple, 4 or 5 years ago, and then I started following Napoleon Hill through Jeffrey Gittimer, where I was introduced to Napoleon Hill with all the different writings, and I've access to CDs and listen to them while I'm driving, and just it's inspirational for being in sales and doing what we do, whether it's the business or the nonprofit. Everything in there applies to both businesses.
Right. Exactly. And Jeffrey Gittimer is a real expert in sales training. He has some amazing books, and even one or two of them are promoted most weeks through the Napoleon Hill Foundation e-zine. So he's a great person. I'm trying to reach him to schedule a radio interview with him as well. Now, Tom, the reason I asked you on the show today is I'm so impressed with what you've done with a really horrible situation. You've experienced the most horrible loss that a person can go through with the loss of your son, and yet you have used that experience to help contribute to the lives of so many other children with cancer, as well as their parents. This falls in the Napoleon Hill success principles under learning from adversity and defeat. And I think that one of the keys to surviving in this life is to learn to live positively with and through these really difficult circumstances that really come upon us all in different forms throughout our life. Tell me about how you came up with the idea for Cal's All-Star Angel Foundation, and tell me a little bit about Cal himself as well, please.
When Cal was born back in 1993, and he was one of those kids, you know, he loved baseball. He was the oldest of, right now it's a blended family of seven. And Cal would have been the oldest of the blended family of seven. He loved baseball. Actually, his brothers and sisters, they all love baseball and softball. And, you know, going through this, you have a kid who I remember all the time, his teachers, his coaches would always say how it was amazing a young boy would always care about others, you know, before himself.
Yeah.
And it was one of the craziest things. Yeah, he always worried about everyone else, even on his team, the kids who were not doing so well. Bring himself down to their level and play at their level and get them up to his level. And the coach said, you know, it was just amazing how he would just kind of turn himself and humble himself to help the other kids get back up to his level, whether it was the ones that, you know, and kids being kids. You know, I see that where the kids would pick on, you know, some of the kids would pick on other kids and Cal would be the one who would, you know, be their friend and bring them up, or even in school. A lot of things in school where he had homework, and it was interesting. We'd get called in where, you know, a teacher would say, well, you know, he's not doing his homework, but what's interesting is he helped all the other kids do their homework.
He got an A on all those other ones.
Yeah, the other kids are getting A's and B's, and here's Cal. They're going, why isn't he turning in his homework? We said, well, what's going on? He goes, well, I got too caught up in helping everyone else, and I didn't have time for my own.
Yeah, he's done eight others already. Tom, I was wondering, I've wondered about this in the past as well. Where do you think Cal got that kind of a caring heart? It's not always natural in kids. And I was always positive throughout my life. And I've often wondered, like, is that instilled by parents? Is that instilled by God? Like, that's just a tremendously caring heart at such a young age.
And, you know, I think part of it was, I mean, I would like to say it was parents too, but I think part of it was, I almost say there was a destiny involved with his life where, you know, almost because of the fact that he would always tell us, you know, oh, school, I'm helping others. School's not that important for me. And it was almost where I almost sometimes think his inner soul knew what was going to happen. You know, it was almost like it was almost pre-planned. That so many important things in life, you know, like school and all that, the long-term things in people's lives didn't really matter to him in the here and now. And as things played out, you know, he was diagnosed with leukemia at age 12. And, you know, you look at that, diagnosed at age 12, passed away at age 13. I said, well, you know what, when you look back on it, school wasn't that important.
But he made a big impact on day-to-day people right in front of him on a daily basis, and that will live on, you know, long after. And maybe he did have a premonition about that, because that's an odd statement for a kid to make. But what a tremendous legacy. And then also when he got leukemia at 12, you watched him for a year suffer, didn't you? And I had a cousin who passed away young of leukemia. He would apologize to the nurses for bleeding on the sheets. And I used to think, oh my gosh, like, I don't think I would be that concerned if I were in his situation. And it must have been hard for you and your wife to to watch that process. Not much you can do other than what the doctors really tell you to do.
No, and it's interesting you say that about your, it was your cousin, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how Cal was. You know, he'd doing the chemo and the radiation, he'd obviously vomit, and he'd vomit and get out of the bucket, and he'd be apologizing to the nurses, and they're like, what are you apologizing for? You know?
Yeah.
And he'd say,
wow.
He goes, oh, I'm so sorry I made a mess. You know,
yeah.
And it was just, it's just the kind of kid he was. Like I said, he was also, when he played baseball, he was an all-star, you know, baseball player. So he made an impact on a lot of people. You know, they
yeah.
noticed him, they noticed his life, his kindness, his athletic abilities. He was one of those. Everybody knew who he was. So I'm kind of,
yeah.
when you look back and you say, well, the way it was set up, and the individuals in our lives and his life, he made a statement, and people
yeah.
noticed. And that when he got leukemia, and he passed away at age 13, it was a big impact on the community, you know,
yeah.
the church,
yeah.
the community, and friends, neighbors. It was a big impact.
Yes, and some people, myself, I'm having the most success and fun in my career and life, impact wise. Now in my late 40s, Cal was able to make his impact on the world at a young age. And, you know, some people go through their whole life and don't make an impact like Cal did in his 13 years.
Right. And it was, you know, and when you were asking about how we had the idea for the foundation, how we came up with all this, you know, when he was going through it, and we were at Children's Memorial Hospital down in Chicago, I remember the biggest impact came one day when I was down there and one of his roommates at the time was 14. Cal's 12, his roommate's 14, and the dad and I are hanging out with the boys and playing PS2 back when they had the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
We're sitting there playing a PS2. I remember the dad saying to me, you know, I need to leave right now because I need to go see my wife who's down at Northwestern Memorial with breast cancer.
Oh,
jeepers. Yeah, and, you know, that is, you know, you always hear the stories. You know, I always tell everyone, I say, you always heard up until that point with this battle with Cal, you always hear the stories about this happening to people, but they were only stories, you know, in the back of
yeah.
my head. They were just stories. I never really thought, I mean, I knew this stuff happened, but I never really thought it happened. You know, if
yeah.
you understand what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, for, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and how did you get started with thinking about the foundation? Just trying to, I guess, carry on Cal's legacy.
Yeah, well, it was at that point because, you know, my employer too at the time, you know, the president of the insurance agency had come to me and he said, you know, I know you've got a lot going on with Cal, and
yeah.
what you're going to need to do is spend time with him and take care of him. Do not worry about anything to do with business. We will make
wow.
sure everything is taken care of. And this guy, the president of the agency, Bob, he did it. And sometimes people say things that way and
yeah.
they don't mean it. But as we
yeah.
went on, you know, 14 and a half months of this, they did my job and he made sure that my clients were taken care of, my job was done, and they still paid me full time.
Holy smokes. That is quite a commitment.
Yeah, well, and it was, I mean, it's a commitment and it's a statement. And when you're in the hospital and you see people going through this, I mean, this guy I was telling you about, Cal's roommate,
mm-hmm.
trying to take care of his wife, trying to take care of his only son, lost his job trying to do this. You know, so he has no income. Oh, and I remember him telling me he parked at the mall 2 miles away so he could save the $2 per day for parking because he needed that money to eat lunch.
Oh, man, that would rip your heart out.
It ripped my heart out, and that night is when we first started. We had no idea what we were going to do with Cal's Angels, but it was that night. I remember calling my wife after Cal went to sleep and his roommate went to sleep. I called my wife, and I said, look, this stuff goes on, and this happens to people for real.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I mean, there's one thing with Cal. You know, I hope Cal makes it, but no matter what happens with Cal, we really need to do something. You know, we didn't know what at the time. We were just—it was just kind of a concept. We said, "I want to do something to help these people that are not as fortunate."
Wow, Yes. And did Cal know about it? Did you talk to him about it at all?
You know, I talked to him. He talked a lot. You know, he would always ask about the other kids, and always worried about other kids in the hospital. And, you know, yeah, I remember him always telling me, oh, you know, he'd be really sick, like I said, with the vomiting and bleeding. And I can remember him going, oh, how's John? How's Mike? I mean, asking me about the other kids. Like, what about you, Cal? He goes, I'm fine, Dad. Don't worry about me. I'll always be fine. And that was just how he was. And I can remember talking to him about some of this, saying, you know, when he would ask me, and I never really told him the whole story about the dads losing their jobs or that, but we'd talk about hard times. And I would have, you know, Cal and I would talk, because I remember the one year at Christmas, you know, people love to help kids.
Yeah.
He ended up with three Nintendo DSs one year. And I remember he's sitting there, he had a pink one, oh no, he had a black one, silver one, and a burgundy one. And so he's sitting there with all three, and he's playing, he's switching off, and I go, you know what, we should give one to somebody else who has none.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had a little bit of hesitation at first. He said, hey, you know, I'm not really sure. And I said, well, so we had this conversation about some of these other families, and at that point, he did. He gave away two of them.
Wow. So he developed a giving spirit pretty early in his life.
Yeah,
with a little
coaxing,
maybe.
Yeah. So he, you know, when you're asking if he knew about it, I mean, he kind of knew about what we were talking about, but not really doing the foundation.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, he passed away in August of 2006. And we kind of did nothing for, you know, 5-6 months. But then one day we just woke up and I said to my wife, I said, we remember when we talked about this? I go, let's do something. And so we sent an email out to our neighbors and friends. And 1 week later, 30 people showed up in our living room. And at that point, we said, you know what? We kind of have an idea what we want to do, but we're not sure. Can you help us? And that was almost 5 years ago. And here we are today doing what we do. So pretty cool.
Wow. Pretty cool. And pretty cool about Cal being so concerned about others in the hospital. I remember I've been in hospital about 40 times, and I've had two kids die in the same room with me. One was a young girl, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. She had cancer, and her and I got along really, really well. So well that her parents asked if she could share a room with me. And you know, hospitals, even though the young age, they didn't share rooms with boys and girls, but
right,
the hospital,
you know,
they let the girl, come into my room. She was there for a week, and I remember being there when she passed away, and they rushed out of the room and closed the curtains, and it felt horrible when she died, but it felt nice that her parents wanted her to be around someone who would make her laugh and who she enjoyed being around.
Yeah, it must have been a special relationship because, like you said, they don't put boys and girls in the same room. I know that from being in the hospital so much.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the impact that sick people or sick kids can make in the hospital, like Cal did, is tremendous. I remember, Tom, one time I was leading a Bible study group, and there was two sets of parents in that group that had both lost kids. One lost their daughter when she was like 19. The other lost their son when he was like 7, run over by a car. Someone happened to say to those two parents that was a long time ago. You must be over it by now. I saw those two parents practically rip into that person, saying, when you lose a child, you never get over it. You get used to it, you go on, but you don't really get over it. And I imagine that's the case.
Yeah, you don't. It's something that, you know, like you said, it's one of the worst things you can ever think of happening. And you know, I mean, you're right. You don't ever get over it, but you learn to live with it. And what we did with the Cals is kind of our way, the way we grant wishes for these kids with cancer, financially assist their families when they can't make the mortgage payment, they can't make the car payment because, you know, they lost a job, diminished hours at work, whatever, you know, being able to help them is a great thing. And then also, because we experienced it, we know how they feel, you know, what they're talking about. And, you know, you build bonds with these people that they would not be able to build with somebody else who's never experienced it.
Oh, totally. I imagine you wouldn't even have to speak words to each other and a bond is created. They know what you went through and you know what they went through.
Right, right. And the ones that are still fighting, you know exactly, you know, on a daily basis, you know what they face every single day with these battles, whether it's in the hospital, you're outpatient, or, you know, you have the post-treatment, you know, issues with graft versus host, if they had a stem cell transplant, all the way on down the line. You know, we experienced all of it, and so we know exactly what's going on. And it's just, it's a very fulfilling feeling inside to say, hey, you know, I've turned something into, and, you know, and you look at it and you say, hey, you know, you talk, I say, Cal, look, I hope you can see what's going on and what you created. And it's the strength that you and all these other kids give us to keep doing this. You know, we're at 150, actually more than 150 kids we've helped so far. And
wow.
It just keeps coming in. And, you know, and you wonder, you know, you hear about advances in medicine and what's going on and cancer treatment and people getting into remission and all that. And I'll tell you what, we are still getting, I think in the last 2 weeks, we had 10 requests from children newly diagnosed with one of the blood cancers.
Wow.
That's a lot in 2 weeks. Oh, yeah.
That's a lot. Tell me about some of the first, like the first few years and some of the first few giftings and awards, things, money and help you were able to give. Those first two, three, four times must have been a tremendously amazing experience.
Well, you know, it was, and I can even go back to when you talk about amazing experiences. When I said we had that first meeting in our living room with 30 people, and we said, this is what we want to do. And I remember one of the guys said, hey, let's do a golf outing to raise money so we have money to do this. And we held it at one of the local courses. His brother is a pro. And we ended up that very first outing. I remember people telling us, well, if it's successful, you'll raise $10,000. We said, oh, that's great. You know, we can do, you know, a decent amount of stuff with $10,000. So we... In 2 months' time, we sent out all the emails and hitting everybody up. I'm in the insurance industry, so I hit up all the insurance companies, my clients, clients' clients. We ended up with, you know, 148 or 147 people golfed. We had 275 people at the dinner. We raised $73,000.
Holy smokes. Your first event.
Yeah, very first event. We said, wow, I think we're on to something.
Wow, that was and what tremendous action and effort from the people at that initial meeting. As some people will say, as we mentioned earlier, things they're going to do, but that must have taken tremendous effort and time on these guys to organize the golf tournament.
Oh, yeah, and everyone involved with us, the best thing about it is, you know, we run at 95 cents on the dollar going to the cause because every one of us has a job. You know, we all have a job. You know, and that's what I tell everybody. I go, you know what? We all have jobs. And, you know, I've had people ask me, are you going to do this for a living? I said, you know what? At the point I do it for a living or get paid even a dime, it becomes a job and it's no longer, to me, it wouldn't be as fun.
Exactly.
Well,
and
you know,
now there's no overhead, too, so you can give so much more away.
Right, we work out of the house, so we don't pay ourselves rent. We don't, you know, we pay our own utilities personally and let the foundation use our utilities. So it's great. And when you ask about the first gifting, the first wish we did, and it was almost eerie the way it turned out, was a girl two streets over in our neighborhood was our first wish. She had leukemia. That is really strange. That it's a girl two streets over in the same neighborhood ends up being our very first wish, and we sent them to SeaWorld.
Ah, neat. Did Cal know them by chance or know her?
No, you know, we were new to the neighborhood when Cal was diagnosed. We had just moved in, and then, you know, Cal spent more than 11 out of 14 months in the hospital. So he didn't really, we kind of knew them, but we really didn't because we were mostly at the hospital. And so, yeah, Cal had never met them, but a lot of our friends and people involved knew them. And so, you know, you help somebody right here in the neighborhood. We got them down to SeaWorld. They did the behind-the-scenes tour and hanging out with the dolphins, the penguins. It was the greatest thing. And that was our very first wish. And then our second one was somebody from the other side of town. I mean, how small of a world is that?
So when you can start something that impacts your immediate community and area like that, that's a tremendous benefit and also gets the word out as well.
Yeah, it did get the word out. And, you know, to have from our little community of South Elgin to have, you know, us be able to help our first couple wishes right here in South Elgin. Right, and it was all local individuals that we have volunteers. You know, most of the stuff we have done is all volunteer work. All our board members, everybody's volunteers. We all have all our own specific duties as to what we do. You know, one board member, we have an annual 5K event where we do our own 5K, 2-mile walk, and kids events where one of them is pretty funny. They have a 26.2-yard dash for kids at 3 and under. So it's kind of, why, you know, the kids in the neighborhood get into it, and, you know, one board member runs the whole deal. You know, so, I mean, we all have our own duties, and I think that's the biggest success of it. Is that you empower individuals to take responsibility like that and just take over something, and they take ownership for it, and they know that, you know, at the back end, the payoff, like I say, I have the two jobs, one that pays the heart and soul to find these individuals, it pays their heart and soul to do this stuff.
I think people get more out of giving than they ever get out of getting, and when you enable and empower and give people the opportunity to pour into other people's lives, many, many people will just take that up, like you said, take it up as their own, and this is their way to contribute. And you know, as you said, these people have jobs, too. It's not like, you know, that this is all they do. And so that's a tremendous commitment to, you know, continually work like that for any nonprofit. So those are the people that really are the heart and soul of what you do.
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know, and one of the things, too, where some people get a little confused is they'll want to do an event, and then they say, so what do you want us to do? And I go, you know, Stace and I'll say, okay, well, what is it you think will work? And they go, oh, I can do what I want to do?
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Of course, within boundaries, yes. You know, and like I said, you empower people and our volunteers, and you just say, look, this is, as long as we're all on board with what the mission is of granting the wishes and financially assisting these families, as long as we're all on the same board that what we're doing is to further that mission, you do what you want to do. You know, you have your own ideas, and, I mean, if you need help, that's fine, but if you have your own ideas on how this wants to work, how you want it to all work out, you know, go for it.
Nice. And there's so many different ways that people can help and raise money in many, many, so many different ways. And so, as you said, just empower them. You came up with the idea. This is your subconscious mind giving you this idea. So run with it and see how you think it should go. And that's a tremendous benefit for someone to be able to follow through on an idea they had to help others.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like the local school here, one of the elementary schools, they chose us as their service project for the year. So we were the service project. Yeah, and they did, they all made Christmas cards for all the kids at the hospital. They did, they do a bunch of different things. Well, the biggest thing they did was all the kids collected pennies throughout the first half of the school year, and they collected pennies to donate to Cal's Angels. And so at the end of the collection period, they ended up collecting $900 of pennies from elementary school students.
Holy cow. That's a lot of pennies.
Yeah, and that's something they came up with on their own. All these kids, they said, you know, how about if we do this? And then they had a volleyball game between two schools, the school that picked us as their service project and another elementary school, all the teachers and staff, they picked their own volleyball teams, and they had a match game. But in order to get in and watch it, it was a $1 donation to Cal's Angels to get in the door. And I don't know, that was just the other night. I don't know how much they raised, but You know, it's just stuff like that. These people coming up with these great ideas, and local businesses, they say, you know, if anyone comes in and they say, hey, I know you support CALS, I'm here because of them, you know, they give anywhere 5 to 10% back of the sales. A lot of businesses will do that around the local area.
Wow, fantastic. And that's just a tremendous thing for the businesses to do, because you didn't ask them and they don't have to.
Right. And then, you know, and I'm in business, you know, and I know everybody wants to be, or, you know, a lot of them will tell you, oh, I don't need to be recognized. Well, you know what? That's the one thing about, and I go back to where Cal's personality fits into this. Cal was always one of those that thanked everybody to make sure they all knew he knew they did something for him. He was one of those kind. And I always tell everyone, I'm running this foundation, Stacy and I, we run this just like Cal ran his life.
Yeah.
And so any of those businesses, you know, if you go on our website, you'll see a page of those that are normal sponsors for our events. All their logos are up there. You'll see different sections on the website where we give kudos to, you know, a local business, or, you know, just to make sure they understand that we're thankful for them being involved with us.
Wow. And people love recognition. They may say they don't need it, but it is, and that was Cal's nature, as you said, to thank everyone for their help. And so that's a very great thing to do. I don't know if I didn't read your website before, but people can find it at calsangels.org, O-R-G, C-A-L-S, angels.org. Now, I've come across people, Tom, especially with my rheumatoid arthritis. I had it since I was 5, so I've been in waiting rooms and hospitals a lot. I come across people like myself who are always very positive and encouraging in spite the physical challenges, and then I've met many who just kind of give up on life and they're negative because of their challenge. Tell me a little bit about how Cal acted and thought, you know, and you had said he was always so positive. Was he also, I imagine when he was in hospital, was he also trying to encourage you and pick you up and tell you not to worry as well?
Yeah. It's funny you ask that, because that is exactly, you know, us, myself, my wife, Cal's mother. He was always, you know, oh, everything's going to be fine. Why are you so worried? You know, and well, I can tell you why I'm worried. It's a pretty simple answer. And it was just the nurses. I mean, even to this day, because we do a lot with the hospital, Children's Memorial Hospital, we do a lot with them on an annual basis. You know, we sponsor 2 floors at their new hospital. But nurses that knew Cal from 2005 and 2006, they still know him down there, you know, and there'll be other nurses going, you know, I never met Cal, but I feel like I know Cal from what everybody else talks about him.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a very positive impact on everybody's lives. You know, Cal had a very positive, because the nurses always talk, they go, wow, you know, what he's going through right now, I can't believe he's smiling. And that was just him. He always felt like it was a good idea to smile, and he always felt like smiling. And that instantly made everybody else around him at ease.
At ease, yeah, totally. And it's kind of like he's left a family legacy, because your kids are involved and Stacy is involved, and this creates, you know, a lot of family time. You have to work together as a family on all these different events and work together. And so it's created a legacy for your family, and also created opportunities for you to spend time together as a family helping others. And boy, nothing can build a great family more than working all together to help other people.
Oh, and I'll tell you one thing. You know, his brother, Ryan, he's 16 now. His brother, Ryan, last year, when you talk about, you know, family getting involved and changing their lives, you know, his brother is not, Ryan is not the greatest student, but I'll never forget, he was in a class, actually 2 years ago, one of his speech classes, English speech class, and he had to do a persuasive writing which turned into a persuasive speech. And it was, the topic was, pick a cause that you feel strongly about and sell the class on it so that they pick you, and that the class, like the teacher would, you turn in your writings, the teacher would pick his favorite three, and then you have to give a speech, and then the students pick whoever out of those three, and then the class does a fundraiser for that cause. And the first time he ever got a 100% was when he turned in the paper. He got 100%, then he got 100% for the speech, and the class picked him, and they did a fundraiser, and everybody in his freshman class, they raised almost, I think it was close to $900, high school students, in a week.
In a week, high school students. Well, that must have been a heck of a speech.
Well, you know, and, yeah. And he
must have been difficult to deliver at the same time, too. I choke up asking you these questions, so he must have choked up just talking about it.
Yeah, he said he did, but he said, you know, and I asked him, I said, well, how'd you do so well, and why'd you do so well on this when you don't do the greatest on everything else? And he said, well, Dad, I'll tell you what, because Hell's Angels is my brother.
Wow.
And, yeah, and so I said, okay, well, how about if we look at everything else being like your brother?
Yeah.
I said, why do you make every assignment like that? But, you know, I mean, that's you know, neither here nor there with him. But, yeah, it's just when you ask about an impact on the kids and what they do and how they focus it, that is how they all look at it.
Oh, wow.
This is,
and that's,
this is their brother. Yeah, this is their brother.
That's quite a legacy for a brother to leave, that, you know, that his brothers and sisters would carry on his work.
Yeah, yeah, he's he left a big impact on a lot of people's lives, and he still does. And like I said, you know, you can go down to that hospital on the oncology floor and nurses and mention his name, and those that never met him will tell you, I think I know him. I feel like I know him, but I don't.
Yeah. And at the same time, your family must have to sacrifice a fair bit, maybe vacation time and relaxation time, and because there's a lot of time and commitment involved in such a big venture. And so you really have to have the support of everyone in the family, because, you know, it is such a big focus of your outside of work time.
It is a big time commitment, and yes, the kids, and like I said, they're involved, you know, thank goodness they're involved, because if they weren't, it would be very difficult, you know, because we have given up, you know, you'll give up here and there some family things you can do together. Instead of going to the show, we sit down and we'll do something else that's for Cal's Angels, and we always try and, you know, get the kids involved in this, and you know, just, it does, but it does take up. But they do understand, and they've all bought in to the concept and the idea of the Cal's Angels and what it's all about.
And then we haven't spoken too much about Stacy. I think we have, 5 or 6 minutes left. But Stacy is Cal's stepmom. And then I've been married long enough to know about Happy Wife and Happy Life. And yet she's right. Sounds like she's right in there beside you and with you on all of these things, because you would have to have it that way. You wouldn't want your wife or your kids saying, Dad, you're spending so much time on that, and you know, we're missing out.
Right. Yeah, no, she was along, you know, since, oh boy, when Cal was probably 9 is when I met her. So she knew Cal before he was even diagnosed, and instantly, and my wife and I both, the way we are with, because we have a his, hers, and ours blended family.
Right.
And her, instantly, our deal was right away, we're going to treat all the kids the same. They're not yours, right. They're not mine. They're our kids, whether they're stepkids or biological kids. And they're all going to be treated the same. And when this came up, you know, with Cal, I mean, he was one step away probably from calling her mom, because he has a biological mother. But, you know, that's how close they were. And but it was, like I said,
wow.
You go back to Cal, it was really hard not to like Cal. And it was. It just, people were like, you know, even his baseball coach, you know, his nickname was Calman. And I finally asked him, I said, why do you call him Calman? And he said, Tom, you know what? The way he would conduct himself in the dugout with the other kids, they'd all be screwing around, and there's Cal going, hey, you know, we've got a game to play. We need to be serious. And or the way he would, like I said before, pick up the kids who were being picked on or who weren't as good. He said he was a man in a kid's body. And he had just the sweetest personality. If you listen to his voice, because he was a big kid, but he had this voice, you know, kind of a little kid's voice in a big kid's body. And it wasn't an annoying little kid's voice. It was cute.
Yeah.
You know, and so people would be like, oh, listen to his voice.
And sticking up for other people. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Your wife, what?
Oh, I was going to say, so they had a good bond. And when, you know, he was diagnosed, I mean, she spent not as much time as I did because we had the other kids, but she spent a good portion of the time. And now to the point where, I mean, we were in this together from the beginning. When I had first told her we need to do something, she was said, yes, we definitely need to do something. And now, you know, when we're helping all these kids, or she's going down, we'll do parties down at the hospital, and she refers to all these kids that we're helping. They're either attendees at the party or the kids are picking out toys from the toy drive. She refers to them as her kids.
Wow.
And so, yeah, and it's not just saying it. It's not just saying they're my kids. She refers to all of them as her kids because we're there to take care of them.
And however you, whatever way you can.
Right, right.
And so tremendous that she's involved with you, like that, because, you know, you need that. Because I'm sure there's also, you know, a lot of challenging times as well. And so, you know, congratulations that your whole family is involved in this. It is a legacy that will continue on, and I imagine the people you meet and the people you help, you know, those are going to create lifelong bonds for you.
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know, when you're saying about creating a lifelong bond, we have met a lot of people, and you've, you know, a lot of them, whether their kids survive or their kids pass away, we have a lot of lifelong bonds. And you know, and going back one step to what you said before, challenges, you know, it's one thing her and I were talking about the other night. I said, it's a good thing that you and I have never been on the same page as to if we want to throw in the towel and give up on the cows, because it does sometimes. You sit here, I'll do my job all day long at the insurance agency. I come home, I spend time with the kids, we coach, whatever we do until 9 o'clock at night, and then I go, now I have 2-3 hours of Cal's Angels work to do. So it's midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I go, and I will just go to her and say, okay, I am done. I am not doing this anymore. Let's give it up, and somebody else can run it. And she goes, really?
Yeah.
You're just going to give up on all these kids and their families.
Right.
And then she'll
pull
out a letter.
Again,
she'll pull out a letter from one of the families explaining what we did for them and how it changed their life. And I said, okay. I'll give up.
All right, I'm back on the job tomorrow.
Exactly, and it's the opposite. You know, you go back with her, and if she gets to that point, I do the exact same thing, just different, you know, senses, but the same thing. I said, look, this is where we're at. This is what we've done. Do you really want to give up? Well, you put it that way, the answer is no.
Exactly. Tom, we only have like 1 minute left, and when we're done, you know, I'm barely keeping it together here myself. I'm going to have to go blow my nose a little bit. Just a tremendous story of taking a horrible tragedy and using it to benefit others. You know, fantastic work. Give the people again your website address. Maybe talk about the next couple events coming up, and do it in less than 48 seconds.
Okay. The website is calsangels.org. That's calsangels.org. And we have coming up in Friday, June 8th, is our big annual dinner, auction, and golf event. That's where the first one I was telling you, we did $73,000. Last year we did $125,000 we raised last year. And we ended up with 435 people at our event. So, yeah, that's that's always open. If you go to the website, you can get my email. Registration's not open yet, but send me an email if you're interested in, you know, sponsorships, auction items for the auctions, if you have any cool things to donate.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, we're looking for that right now. We're just really gearing up for the big event, see if we can even top last year's $125,000. We're looking for runners for the Chicago Marathon, the Batavia Half Marathon, people to sign up for our team. We have, let's see, we have a Cubs, Chicago Cubs rooftop event on Sunday, August 12th.
Wow.
Saturday, August 25th, we have the White Sox. We have an outing down at Cellular Field, big tailgate party, deck party at the ballpark. And then we have, September 15th is our own 5K event, the one I had mentioned earlier, 5K, 2-mile walk, and the kids event. And then in October is the, like I said, the Chicago Marathon, and then at the end of every year, we do the toy drive.
Amazing. So people, make sure to go to that website, calsangels.org. Blog Talk Radio is flashing at me now. They're mad because we went over time. But thank you so much for spending time with me today, Tom. Just an incredible story, and Cal's life will go on to touch so many people for so many years.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Take care. Have an amazing day.
You too.